Good morning again. Let's see if I can get set up here. So this morning, we're going to do things a little bit different. I want to get an opportunity for those who were participating in VBS to share with us this morning, because that's part of testimony. Testimony is saying, okay, this is what I saw God do. This is what I saw God doing or see God doing. And it's an opportunity for them to share, and I'm going to say it real quick here, just to put them at ease. There's quite a few of them that are going to be sharing this morning that didn't want to get up here and share. And then I said, if you don't, I will make you a sermon example. And they signed up real quick. And there is some nervousness. So you be good to them as they come up and share, because they've had an exhausting week. And anybody who's ever worked VBS knows how exhausting the week can get. It doesn't seem like much in the sense that it's only a few hours in the morning, and it's only a handful of kids at a time, and it's just games, isn't it? And it's a lot more than that. And I have to say that with the curriculum that was used this year, there was a lot of deep stuff that was being given out to the kids this year, and I was watching the kids just grab a hold of it, and it's been a great week. And so we're going to hear from those who participated in it, and then we'll transition into the second half of the service afterwards, where, like I said, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. So I think, Kitty, you're starting this year. My wife Wendy, and then
everybody who's going to share, and yes, I know who you are, so you can't hide. Why don't you go ahead and take a seat up here in the front? That way, it's a quicker, easier transition. I was gonna part the C here, but it didn't happen. So you'll have to kind of come up around or something there.
I made it.
VBS is over. There we go. That's much easier. So, yeah. So, all right. So there it is. All right. So anyhow. So as they come up, Kitty is going to start us off, and Wendy and Kitty, along with 800 different arms, made this whole thing happen. And I'm grateful to have. This is my testimony. I am grateful to have a wife who desires to serve in such a way that when she says, maybe somebody else could do it this year, and I looked at it and I said, no. I am blessed in that way. And so, this morning we're going to hear from everybody. So where's Kitty? You're up. And there is a microphone. Please use said microphone. And the microphone works best when it's in front of your face. Yeah.
What? Oh, I just had a message given to me. So before I start, I'm going to explain something else. Pastor Mike was saying, Wendy and I are heavily involved with children's ministries. And today's a special day because I see a lot of kids out there that we normally would have children's church today. But since this is a special day for VBS, we're not having children's church, but normally we will have it. So just letting it out there. So for some of the families here with kids, that normally there would be children's church, but today's special. Okay, well, when Pastor Mike asked us to talk, I have a tendency, my mind goes blank when I have to come up and talk in front of people. And so I just been praying. I says, hey, Lord, I need some words. I did write a few things down, but one of the things that for me, God has been preparing me to be able to teach so differently in the last couple years. And when we started on Wednesday night, the Gospel Project, The Rooted, that was the beginning of it. That the way they present God's truths and in the way that they present it to the children I have learned so much myself. And it's just, I get so excited seeing these kids grasp a hold of God's word and the truth and the theology. And they're understanding who God is, what God has done through them, for them, through Jesus Christ, His Son, and their understanding what it means when they do sin and what it cost God and what He demands of that. And that just follows straight into this week of VBS. These kids, at the very last day, I asked them, because I had an older group than I normally have, and I asked them, how many of them been in, rooted on Wednesday nights? And over three-fourths of them raised their hand. And I thought to myself, Lord, that's why this week, one of the reasons why this week has gone just tremendously well is that these kids had this background already being taught to them from Wednesday night. Because this year's VBS was totally different than VBSs in the past. As these kids, as I was teaching them, I had 15 to 16 third and fourth graders. And you could hear a pin drop in the room during the time when we're telling the story. Their eyes were big. They're looking. They're asking questions. And one little girl, specifically one day, we were sharing about how God accepts me. And she goes, you know, when I was little, she's fourth grade, and I'm thinking she's still pretty little. But she goes, I tried to be really, really good. I really tried to be good all the time because I wanted Jesus to love me and accept me. And she goes, but I realized I didn't have to do that because Jesus accepts me as who I am. And I'm thinking, like, that's what the lessons are about today, was that Jesus accepts you right where you're at, how you are, what you're doing, who you are, and everything. And I'm thinking, wow, if more adults could understand that, I'm thinking, like, that would just be incredible to realize that Jesus accepts you the way you are. And each day, the theological questions, I'm glad I've been taking the relational elder training because it's really helped me to answer some of the questions that were being discussed, because I'm with this group of third and fourth graders and we're having these theological discussions, and it's just awesome because they're understanding who God is and what He's done for them. So, like I said, it was a phenomenal week. I don't know how to say it. I appreciate everybody's prayers that support us in the background, and all the people who were part of it, because without you, God uses every one of us, and it was just great and awesome. So thank you.
Am I supposed to get... We didn't have a train theme this year. We have a submarine theme. Submerged. This is a little different than coming up here talking about shoeboxes. So we were handed some questions that we were supposed to think about during the week. I think we were handed it the third day. And I was looking over the questions, and I'm not taking them in the order that they're written in, but we didn't have to. Says, was your experience what you expected? And I've helped out in VBS before, but with VBS and when I helped out with Awana and Children's Church in the past, I've always had the preschoolers, and I was comfortable with that. I was told I needed to work with Doug and do the fifth and sixth graders, and I'm going, okay. So I've got to admit that I didn't go into this week with a servant attitude. I wanted to work with the preschoolers, and God wanted me to work with the fifth and sixth graders. So He really convicted me of that. So as the week went on, after the first day, it was kind of a light day on the first day. And the fifth and sixth graders, we had only eight kids. I say only eight. I was kind of thankful in a way that we only had eight. But at the same time driving home, I said to God, a couple more would be nice. So anyway, the next day, from the rest of the week on, we had an average of 12 to 14 kids, and they were just Doug and myself with fifth graders, and it was a little overwhelming to say the least. And in fact, after the first, we went from station to station. We all started off in the worship center, and then our second station was go up for our Bible class, and that was with Mary Lee. And it was, you know, it was the first day, and the kids are all excited, and they didn't know what was expected of them, and everything was just, organized chaos. It was, the first class was kind of chaotic, because we didn't know where we were supposed to go, what we were supposed to do. So after the first lesson, we were going to our next station, and Mary Lee and I looked at each other and kind of like rolled our eyes, and it's like, oh my gosh, what have we gotten ourselves into for the rest of the week? So anyhow, things kind of did calm down after we kind of knew what we were supposed to do. So, second question I'm going to ask or talk about is if there's something you do, if it's something I would do again. And I have helped VBS in the past. The last couple of years I did not because of other commitments. Yes, I would do it again. And I would even take the fifth and sixth graders. I ended up having a lot of fun with them. So, what were some of the challenges, and did you see God working through those challenges? There were a couple kids that I thought might be problem kids to begin with, rather rambunctious. And there was a gal that came the second day. She wasn't there the first day because it was a holiday. And I thought, boy, she was kind of hanging out with a couple other gals and being a little bit kind of not wanting to follow the rules, shall we say. And I thought, oh boy, this one's going to be trouble. Well, after the third and fourth day, I had a totally different opinion. This gal turned out to be amazing, awesome. The fourth day, Thursday, there was a gal that came, and she was just a real short timer. I didn't realize that. And she didn't get logged in and through registration until our break time, which was like mid-morning. So we went through the rest of the day, and then we had lunchtime, and then we went out to the water slide. So at lunchtime, this gal, and I'll call her E, was sitting next to the new gal that just started. I don't know if they knew each other or not. And this new gal's kind of look around like totally overwhelmed. So anyhow, this gal E said, well, let me catch you up on what we've done. This was Thursday, mind you. She went through each of the lessons in order and explained to this girl, like Mary Lee teaching this, and I was just like blown away, and I told her she was awesome. I thanked her for helping. So anyhow, that was just one of the things there. What did I learn about or from the kids? And one was their willingness to learn, and they were excited about what they were learning, how they got to where they were working as a team, helping each other out. This one gal, I said, E, she's a natural born teacher. Anybody that was struggling with anything, she would go and help them. And it's like she was working with Doug and I. And thank you, Doug. I was praying midweek, boy, if Doug doesn't come, I'm going to be in big trouble here. And he hung through the rest of the week. So what I saw about this was team growth, just how the kids seemed to want to learn God's word, and how they started all getting along and helping each other out. So I think I'm kind of done. Who's next?
It's funny that you had me come up next because I was just thinking, wow, our perspectives were kind of opposite, so. Yeah. So I was in charge of registration and check-in and most of the other behind-the-scenes paperwork and tracking. So I had limited actual time with the children, but I was able to observe VBS as a whole and was amazed at what I saw. In RET, we've been discussing how the church is a body, a living organism. And what I saw this week was a great example of how that looks. Every person involved was doing their part. Mostly, we didn't need someone to tell us what to do every moment, mostly. We knew what we needed to do, and we did it. We helped each other out, and when there was a need, someone readily stepped up and took care of it. The living organism of people serving God and 66 children was a healthy, productive body doing the will of God. It was a beautiful thing. This is how God intended the church to function.
Scary group out there. I didn't really prepare any notes, and I didn't have my questions with me, so I'll just be brief. I worked with Dustin and Drew and Melanie. There's Dustin. Drew's here somewhere. With first and second graders. And the thing that I saw on Monday morning, well, first of all, a little background. I have always hidden in nursery for VBS. So this year, coming here, I decided to embrace VBS and get the whole family involved and try to do something besides hiding in the nursery. And so then Wendy graciously put me in first and second grade, which I was Sunday morning before it started, I was trying to figure out a way that I could not do it. But I showed up, and I have to say that I am so happy I did. It is, I'm going out of order. I would do it again, and I would even do first and second grade again. What I saw was God moving in kids that when we first came in, okay, the kids came into the first and second grade room, and I was thinking, this is so not going to work. And then, you know, we had prayer time, and Dustin started teaching, and I see kids sort of started, you know, wandering a little bit, and he was very calm. I'm more of the commander type, so I wanted to go over and say, sit down now and put your cushions back. And he was very calm, and so I didn't just learn things from the kids, I learned things from him, and obviously he's considerably younger than me, so you can still learn things. But one of the things that Dustin did that I thought was really funny, because me as an older person, he says to first and second graders, now, we're going to talk about depths of the sea and the common names and the scientific names, and I want you to work as a team to match these up. And here I am, a 69-year-old, and I'm thinking, oh, kid, this is so not going to work. I'm telling you, it is just not going to work. And what I saw 2 seconds later were 9 first and second graders on the floor with these papers, matching them up quietly together, and it was just an amazing thing. You know, it's just like, wow. So I learned a lot this week. I learned how to be patient, don't interfere, do not make a move unless it looks like it's going to turn to blood. So that was it.
So I've done VBS in the past, last year and this year. I took care of the missions class, where we talk about 2 families, one usually ministering stateside, another overseas. We talk about the obstacles in their lives. We also do a quick brush up on the Bible study that the kids have had in the morning. I walked into the week thinking, you know, this is a really awesome opportunity to pour in the kids' lives. And the second focus I had was absolutely avoiding glitter at all cost. It didn't work. At least one goal got done, and it was interesting because, you know, day one goes great, and you think, I can do this. Day two, I need coffee. day three, I'm going to stop at the store and get some 5-hour energy, and we'll make it through this. By day four, Thursday, you're wiped out. You're empty. And that's where God begins to pour into you. We had a verse for VBS that basically says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And we're talking about bullies. And my gracious daughter raises her hand and says, "Mom, you've got a bully at work." Oh. And of course, the kids all picked up on that. "You have a bully at work?" Yeah, I have a bully at work. "Well, what'd you do?" "Well, I got really mad and I thought, lady, if I wasn't a Christian, I would knock you out." And I said, "Wait a minute, that's a wicked way in me. So that's not okay, kids. That's a bad attitude." I said, "God cares about me and he loves me and he wants to work to change my heart. So he wants to take that situation where I'm angry and grumpy and he wants to teach me his way to deal with that situation." So by day four, I was letting the kids pour into me. And by day five, I felt much better and I was covered head to toe in shiny things. I would definitely do this again. In fact, day five, I was already going, "Hey, you know what next year's theme is?" And Wendy's like, "Amy, just get through the day. Get through the day." I'm like, "No, we can do this and this." She's like, "Amy, it's okay." But no, I invite all of you. It's worth it. Just a couple hours, but so worth it, because they're not only something you're going to pour into these lives, but they're going to pour right back into you. And you're going to see things from a different perspective and learn things. You know, Christ says, you know, "Let the little children come to me." And sometimes, looking through their eyes, you can see a different path.
Hi, this is my second year doing VBS, since I'm only old enough just now to do it. Last year I did songs with my friend and my other friend who's in the nursery. And then we pretty much ran around last year doing whatever was needed. This year was the first year I actually got to go into a classroom. I was with Kitty, Brenda, Kevin, and Alice. And the first day, we only had 5 kids. So I was like, this is going to be easy. I've always heard mom and everything coming home going, ugh. I was like, this is 5 kids. Done. It was really fun the first day, learning to get to know the kids for a little bit. Then the second day, we had 15 kids. And no. It was pretty fun watching the kids interact. And one of my favorite kids, he was a boy, but he picked up pretty fast on things. And even better is we played a game with a water, and if you got a question wrong, you had to poke a hole in it, but you don't want your water to go out. And he knew every question, every answer. Like, even if it was for the other team, he'd always be raising his hand. "I know it." I thought it was really cool and really fun. I gotta say, one of my favorite classes was probably Amy's classes, because just watching the kids interact and learning about other missionaries, it was really cool. Even though the first day, the kids kind of got distracted by a door. It was really funny. But I remember seeing them and asking all the time, "Can we watch the video now?" And there was every now and then we'd accidentally mess up and we'd watch the video again, and they'd still sit there and watch it and watch it and watch it. And it was pretty fun. And it was just, I still did songs this year with my friends, and the kids on the second day decided they wanted to copy my every move and my every word. So I'd walk around saying things, they'd all repeat it. And so we'd come in here right before worship, and there'd be nobody in here yet, because we usually came a little bit early. I remember I'd teach the kids the verse, and one of them picked on it so fast that the day we changed it, because we had a different version. We changed it, and the next day he had it, straight down. So I'd try to say it, and he'd go ahead and teach the kids it. I thought that was really cool. I taught the kids the motions, and I dyed my hair for them because I told them I'd do it if they got enough kids. But it was really fun seeing them interact. And probably my favorite day was Friday because I remember our last day, we were all eating lunch, and I go to the kids. They go, all right, guys, I want you to raise your hand if you learned something this week. And I saw them all raise their hands, and I was, like, really proud. I go, is anybody here Christian? And, of course, pretty much all of them raised their hands. And I remember asking the question, I go, does anybody here want to be a Christian? And two people raised their hand. It's a girl and a boy, and I look at the girl. She goes, what if you're already a Christian? I go, then that's good. What if you want to become one? And there's still this little boy in our class who's raising his hand. So proud. I go, you want to be a Christian? He goes, I do. So I remember telling him to come find me after lunch, and I remember running in the kitchen going, Mom, 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 Mom. I was like, look what God did. So I remember me and Kitty found him afterwards, and we took him in here. I remember him sitting there, and Kitty is explaining about all the good things that is to be a Christian, and he looks kind of nervous at first. So I remember telling him, and Kitty goes, you know what God did for you? He goes, God died for me, didn't he? I go, that's right. So I remember sitting there, and Kitty goes, are you ready? He goes, yeah. He goes, you want Zia to pray with you? Mm-hmm. I remember sitting there, and I tell him, I was like, you just got to tell him you're sorry and that you love him, that you need him. I remember sitting there, and he prayed, and I almost started crying because this was it's only my second year in VBS, and it was my first experience ever teaching a kid, and the fact that the kid quickly picked up and became a Christian, I almost started crying. So I remember when we were done, I asked him if he felt different. He didn't yet. So I told him, I was like, don't worry, God's got a plan. So I remember me and Kitty, we took him upstairs to get him a Bible. So we got a Bible and I filled it out, and he ran because he wanted to go play on the water slide. But I remember, since Amy's class was my favorite, I always wanted to be a missionary when I grew up. My parents went to Australia. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. So I was lately been thinking about God's calling. And lately I've been reading my Bible a lot, highlighting. So I read 1 Corinthians because it's just been stuck in my head. And it scared me that the first chapter is all about your calling. So I remember after this kid gave his life to Christ, I remember crying because I told God the day before, I go, God, if you want me to become a missionary, let me change someone's life. So it was just so cool to see this little boy. He just, like, transformed right in front of us. It's probably the best VBS I've ever been to.
That pretty much sums up what my week has looked like. Because I teach the preschoolers. I have taught the preschoolers for quite a few years now. I love the preschoolers. They're exhausting and hilarious, and you never really know what's going to come out of their mouths. They come up with some really interesting things to say and do sometimes. But we run just a little bit different in the preschool. We have the verses are a little easier. The themes are just slightly different, but it still gets into the kids. It's amazing to watch as you've got three-year-olds telling, you know, when you say, God, you know everything about me, and they repeat it back to you like that, and help me do what is right. Do I have to do what's right all the time? What if my brother pushes me? What if? And by the end of the week, they're the ones telling me if I say, well, what if I don't want to be nice today? What if I'm in a bad mood? You have to be good. Oh, well, who helps me be good? God helps you be good. He's the only one that can help you. It's amazing. It's exhausting. But I wouldn't trade it. And if Wendy will put up with me, I'll do this, the preschoolers forever.
Okay, everyone came up with a little piece of paper. I came up with a whole bag. We'll see what's in here. So I did arts and crafts this year, which was kind of funny. I don't know, a few months before VBS started, I just told Wendy and Kitty, I'll do whatever you need me to do. I got the time off work, so I can do wherever you want to put me. And they said, arts and crafts. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I can do that. I came home and I told Dustin, yeah, they put me in charge of arts and crafts. And he looked at me like, you're not artsy or crafty. You should see my drawings. They're terrible. I'm not artsy and crafty. So, you know, I thought, well, you know, I'm not really artsy and crafty. That is kind of funny. So at one of our meetings where we're planning the crafts, I kind of mentioned, you know, I'm not really artsy and crafty. Kind of wonder why I'm doing this. And they said, well, because you're organized. I said, well, yeah, I am organized. And it actually worked really well because I had Wendy and Kitty help me come up with the crafts, since I'm not very good at that. And then I got to kind of organize it, make sure that we had all the materials and everything was going smoothly, everything was set where it needed to go, and that's kind of where I'm strong. So that was fun. I'd have to say I did really enjoy it, and I would be happy to do it again, as long as someone can give me ideas for crafts. and the kids just were so excited to do the crafts and had so much fun this year, so that was a lot of fun. So I wanted to show you just some of the crafts that we did. We basically had a different craft for each day. This is really tall. Hold on. All right, there we go. So we had a different craft for each day, and sometimes it went along with the theme. Sometimes it was just what we could do to make it fun. We tried to tie it in the theme with how we were talking. So the first day we did these necklaces that they got to paint, which were kind of fun. I have Ainsley's examples here. The second day, the theme was Jesus knows my worth. So we got to do these fun crafts and had the kids write, Jesus knows my worth, and put it on there so that whenever they see it, they can remember that. On the third day, we did these crosses. Depending on what age level you are, you did a different kind of cross. The first and second graders did finger painting. I don't have that example. And one of the fun things about the third day with the crosses is our theme was, Jesus knows I need a savior. And so, you know, the cross is related to Jesus dying on the cross, and that's how he is our savior and all that. So while we're making the crosses, in the first and second grade group, one of the kids said, what's this weird church symbol? He's talking about the cross. What's this weird church symbol? I thought, oh, this is fun. We get to, you know, tell them what the cross is and what it means. So the kids had already had their Bible story. So I just said, who wants to explain it? And we got some of the kids just explaining it to him, telling what the cross is, what it means to us, and how Jesus knows that I need a savior to really drive that in and help him understand. And I thought that was just a lot of fun. In arts and crafts, we're not even the Bible group. We get to talk about it, and that was fun. Let's see. Day four, we did these fun sun catchers. And then day five, we made what's called a socktopus. It's an octopus out of a sock. those were fun. So we just had a lot of fun crafts. I never heard any kids say, I don't want to do that craft, which to me, there's always some kid who's like, I don't want to participate. This is lame and boring. And I didn't see that at all this year. So that was a lot of fun. The kids were obviously having a great time at VBS. And as far as any problems that we had, the only problem, other than losing some glue, which we dealt with, the only real problem we had was that we needed more tables, and I needed to cover more tables. And honestly, that's a good thing. It's because we had more kids than we had expected. So had a lot of fun. Hope to do it next year. If you need help with your fish, kids, let me know. I can help you with that. Thanks.
Well, do you notice anything a little unusual up here? So far, I'm the only guy that's talked. Okay, guys. Okay, men. I know you're going to men's roundup. That's a great thing to do. You know, you can be a manly man. Hey, we're already recruiting for next year's VBS. And Sherry and I and Drew and Taj are new to this church, brand new. And we should be sitting in the back and, you know, not volunteering for things. But you know what? God is alive and well here in his church and in his community. And the one thing that I saw through this whole experience was how this draws community together and just welcomes in everyone to have the fun, the joy, and the love of Jesus in their hearts, because this is an open place. This is a place of welcoming, and we really appreciate that. And I want to tell you, I really couldn't have done this without other people helping me. And there's a whole bunch of people, and you see all these people, and they say behind the scenes, that's where all the work went in. The wonderful meals that were prepared for the staff, and of course the school that provided the meals for the children, all the people that registered. I mean, there's just a ton of people that you don't see up here talking, and they did all the hard work. Well, Liz and I and Mary Lee, we got the fifth and sixth graders, and I say Mary Lee because, well, I want to say kudos, hats off to you, Madam Teacher, as you presented such a wonderful thing for our rambunctious fifth and sixth graders. And the one thing that really struck me was during the week that I was watching the kids, and they were beginning to share their Bibles with each other and say, this is where this is all about. This is what it's about. So the first day we learned about Zacchaeus and what it meant for his faith and what that meant. I love you, for I am wonderfully and fearfully made. And 139 is one of my favorite psalms, and it just expresses how we're all so beautifully made and how God has created us to do different things. And yeah, so men, I'm expecting more men here next year to help out on VBS. But after Zacchaeus, we had the story of the woman at the well, and how could she be anything? How could she be accepted by anybody? And the children, they got that. They didn't dwell on some of the uglier parts about five different marriages and all that. They dwelt on she needed a Savior. And I think that was important. And, of course, Nicodemus, the learned man, the man who knew the Bible, he knew everything, he needed a Savior. He needed to be born again. Well, what a way to be born again, to come to VBS and help out, I tell you. And, of course, the blind man who was healed. What was his purpose? And that day was, God knows your purpose. He knows your purpose, and he'll stir your heart to accomplish that purpose. So that blind man's purpose was to be there as an example, to show God's love. And these examples, they were just wonderful. And of course, and as the King James Version is, suffer the little children not to come to me. Suffer them to come in and be blessed, because for if you do not become like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so ponder on that. Think about that. But thank you. And thank you for the opportunity, for the chance to be humbled again, as we all should be, and to love.
I don't know if you could see from back there, Mary Lee, but Doug was working off his logbook up here. That's, yeah. All of our fifth and sixth graders got this little logbook to keep track in, so I had to smile to see Doug up here flipping through his logbook, too. I'm going to keep this short because I can see the time, and I know that we still have more to do. One of the most amazing things to me started last Sunday when Mike had everyone working with VBS come up, and I experienced something I had not ever experienced before, in the sense that most of the congregation emptied out. And I realized that the majority of us were involved in VBS. And that was not a normal thing to have happen. Usually there's a handful of us, and we're dying by Wednesday because we're doing 16 jobs with four people. And that wasn't the way it was this year at all. In fact, it went so far, I have to mention this, I had incredible help, which was really good, because I get a little brain fogged every now and then. So luckily I had enough people around me to supply the words that I could not think of when I needed them. But more than that, we had a couple men who got off work and stopped by the church to do whatever needed to be done after we had left, which sounds like, well, what would that be? First of all, it meant that specifically Kitty and I got home before 2 every day of VBS, which I don't think has ever happened before. Usually by 2, the kids have gone home, the water slides down, the teenagers have moved on, and we're just shell-shocked in the middle of the church going, where do we start? We've got garbage overflowing, we've got, like, what's falling down right now that has to be fixed before tomorrow morning, and what's falling down that can wait till Saturday night to fix? And we knew at least one of the men were coming in, because he'd told me, look, I can't take the week off, but I'll come in after work. And I said, okay. So he was going to get all the garbages, move tables for us so we didn't have to. And then I get this phone call. Hey, Wendy? Yeah? Where's the bathroom cleaning supplies? What? The bathroom cleaning supplies. I went in. It looks like we got some young boys who maybe haven't quite figured out how to aim yet. And I'm thinking, I don't even want to know that. Like, isn't there somebody else who can know that besides me? And he goes, so I need the supplies, I'll get it cleaned up. And I'm thinking, what? Like, I've done VBS a long time. I have never had a man call me and say, where is the bathroom supplies? And sure, I'm like, I think they're here, but if you don't find them, call Alan. And somebody find the man some bathroom supplies. I will bring you bathroom cleaning supplies if you need to. And, you know, it was, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours that they put in. They vacuumed. They got the bathroom so it wasn't too horrific throughout the week. They made sure the garbage was out. We had a large group of people who came on Monday because they didn't have to work on Monday. They helped us get the inflatables out. They helped us iron out the first day registration headaches. And it was so encouraging to me not only to have the staff I had all week, but to have those who said, I can only give this much, but I'll be there. And it was pretty amazing the burden that removed from myself and from Kitty, and having to do those little details that you don't realize need done until they're staring you in your face. So that's what made this VBS totally different. Like Lori said, the body became an organism and everyone did their part. And at the end of the day, it left me going, I'm sure I'm missing something because I usually have more to do. And I didn't, because the body had stepped up and done it. We had Sylvia and Donna Jo running snacks in the kitchen. I didn't even know what we were serving. Like, I they've done it for me the last couple of years. So, I don't know, like 2 months ago, I go, hey, you guys, here's the cards. And about 3 weeks ago, I go, maybe I should check in with Donna Jo. Like, we're doing okay, right? And she's like, yep, we got it. And so I just showed up, and they had it ready. Jerry and Rochelle Tyler, they brought a meal for the staff every day. So they'd show up about 10:30 with a lunch prepared for us. We did not have to eat weird chicken nuggets that the kids really like, but we all know aren't really chicken. So they got us real chicken. And, you know, that's something that's in their gifting that they, I mean, it was a huge blessing to us that we were not starving by 1 o'clock in the afternoon when we sent the kids back. It was very amazing to me to see the entire body using what God had gifted them in and making this week happen. So, the only thing that really stood out to me was when Zia came running up to me on Friday. Mom, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. Like, this is your, and then I looked to Kitty and I said, you take her. You and Zia go do this. This is your harvest. This is what you've been working for all week. But more than that is Kitty has been discipling Zia. And so in that moment, we had a double discipleship blessing. As one child came to see who Jesus was, and the older child was taught how to lead someone to the Lord. It was in a single moment, the Spirit was layering blessing and discipleship on top of each other. And, you know, if you're not involved in a discipleship relationship and you think, hey, I could do that with a kid, we got a big group of upcoming junior high and high schoolers that really could use someone pouring into them on a one-on-one basis. And Beth and Dustin and Chad and Elizabeth, they can do the group things, but they cannot work one-on-one with everybody. And so I would just encourage you, if that's something that you're interested in, to talk to Mike, to talk to me, it's not that hard. You're just living life with a kid and showing them how to do it. And in that moment, to be able to see not only the blessing on Zia, but the blessing on Kitty as the Spirit just worked. That was a pretty amazing moment. And I had no idea I was putting y'all where you didn't want to be. That, not on me. The Spirit said, put them there, and I said, okay, I'm throwing that totally on God. So, so talk to him if you don't want to be there next year.
So just real quick, and thank you. Thank you for everybody who helped, who served, who supplied stuff, prayed, every single arm that was part of this this organism that we call VBS. And I got to be careful here with the time, but I can't help it. When Liz said something there, and I loved it so much that, you know, she has this girl, and she immediately wrote this one off, right? Oh, this one's going to be the handful. I'm not, how am I going to enjoy anything with this? And then have that girl turn around and consider the theme for a second here, that we taught these kids that Jesus knows who I am. Jesus knows my worth. Jesus knows I need a Savior. Jesus knows my purpose. And then the final one is that Jesus accepts and loves me. You know, and that's the path that we're called to go down ourselves. Once we come to that place where we know he accepts and loves me, now we turn around and how do I communicate? Jesus knows this about you, and these things are true in your life, and to come to that place. My very first, in fact, I think this probably, this transitions well into where we're going to go. My very first week as a counselor at Tadmore, and I think I've shared this story before. And you got to keep in mind, this was the summer of 91. This is 25 years ago, and the Lord has never released me from this memory. But I had a kid named Stuart in my cabin. And Stuart was the biggest pain I had ever experienced in my life. And I shattered my kneecap into 15 countable pieces. And every time I turned around, Stuart was doing something that the whole camp knew Stuart's name only because I was screaming it out so many times. Now, this is a junior camp, and so the only punishment that we really could ever give that would hopefully change a kid's attitude would be taking away some of their free time and say, okay, you know, you're going to have to stay in the cabin for an extra half hour after lunch with me, instead of getting to go out to the lake and all this kind of stuff. And Stuart, it got to the point, and I was told, you got to start out firm, Mike. This is, you're not their friend, you're their counselor. And so you got to start out firm. And so I start out firm, and I'm like, okay, Stuart, you're gonna stay a half hour with me. And he'd like, fine. And I'm like, you want to make it an hour? Fine. And the very first free time, first day, we were in the cabin the entire time, just he and I. The second day, I was like, I don't want to be firm anymore. I want to go to the lake. Who's punishing who here? So then it became more of a, okay, Stuart, you're going to have to be with me the entire free time, and if you keep this up, and he kept it up. I wasn't picking up. I was a stupid 18-year-old who didn't realize that this kid just wanted to hang out. I was a stupid 18-year-old kid. I was a stupid 17-year-old kid the year before that. And my counselor was Dan. I don't know if you know. We're transitioning. This morning I want to share with you some things that are going on. It's not about me. And I'm trying not to make it about me. It's not about me. In fact, none of this is about us. This is about what God's doing. And I'm going to, in a moment here, I'm going to have Dan come up, and Dan's going to share a little bit with you where we're going this morning. Last week, in fact, some of you caught on a little bit, especially after some information had been made finally public that I had been holding on to for a while. You picked up on it that when I was talking out of James, there's more than just the simple context of these verses that we read, and I'll read them again. James 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that it may produce and complete, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And then going into verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted, and when he is lured, he is enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I don't know about you, and I don't know where you've been at this week, and I alluded to it in terms of the VBS, that there will be trials and tribulations, and Liz saw a trial and a tribulation in a moment, but then in her steadfastness saw God's beauty in that. Many other people in VBS this week had these moments, and whether they're moments where we're convinced that coffee is the answer, or we're convinced that I just can't go any further, or there's that moment where you say, wow, I don't even know how this day happened, but I know that it happened. We have these different ups and downs. There are different kinds of trials and tribulations. And James isn't just talking about the worst of the worst. He's just saying, you understand, life is hard. And hard things are going to happen. The question is, how will you get through them? How will you stand with them? How will you be steadfast and ready? Because as long as you're breathing, God has you here. Because if God really was done with you, trust me, he would take you home. My glasses are all fogging up on me. This past month, my brother Dan has gone through trials and tribulations, and he has taken me on that walk with him. And sometimes I'm not sure if I'm supposed to thank him or not. I do. And like I said, back in the summer of 1990, it was my last summer as a camper at Tadmore. I was going into my senior year, and I'm going to tell you that was the biggest waste of a summer, I think, in my life when I look back, although I wouldn't have traded my week with Dan there at all. Earlier that summer, I'd gone up as a junior counselor, spent just a couple of weeks up there, fell in love with it, and then started asking myself the big question, why didn't I make this a whole summer thing? Why am I only doing this for a couple of weeks? But then I had in the back of my head, I know why, because I still want to be a camper. And Dan was my final counselor. I loved every single minute of it. I'm not going to say Dan did these amazing, wowing things. I say this with absolute sincerity, and I can remember every single piece of it. He was the epitome of steadfastness that I'd ever seen. I had previous years as a camper, I had a great counselor. Actually, I had the same counselor 2 years in a row. In fact, he was the one who was responsible for introducing me to who Jesus is on the fishing dock. And he was a wild and crazy guy, and I had a blast. Dan wasn't wild and crazy. He was steadfast. I know that's a shock to many of you who know Dan. And the thing is, if you ask me, who do I want to be when I grow up? It's Dan. So Dan and I have been in each other's paths off and on. In fact, a few years later, I became senior counselor at Tadmore, and Dan was on staff, and suddenly I'm his counselor, to a certain extent. And yet I still looked at him as a picture of steadfastness. And I also got to witness the love that he has for his wife. it has been with me. And I will tell you that when I came here, I had no clue Dan was here. I had remembered in the back of my head, Sio always sounded familiar, but I couldn't place it and why that was. And it wasn't just because there were signs coming down from Tadmore. There was something else. And I remember sitting here, and I remember seeing Dan in the audience, or standing here, and Dan's there. And I'm like, I'm going to be okay, you know, because there was a steadfastness. And so where does this bring us? It brings us about a month ago, and I'm going to share, so that way Dan can come up and share what he has. I'm going to show the medical side. Is that okay? So Dan was having some issues. I'm just going to leave it there. And if you know, Dan has been battling with what we have perceived, what doctors have said to be fibromyalgia. And so Dan's energy levels, as steadfast as they can be, would take some serious dips. And so he was having some issues thinking, oh, this is it. This is part of that. He goes to the doctor and says, something's not lining up here. Something doesn't match. And so doctor does some tests, and nothing's coming back conclusive, but there's a few things that just didn't seem right. And so they ended up doing some extra tests. And those extra tests revealed amyloidosis. And it's what are the letters before it? Because I always get them wrong. ATTR. And it's amyloidosis. I'm not going to be all doctor-like here. It basically, your body does not do well with the proteins in it. It does wrong things with the proteins. The version that Dan has is the rarest, and it's 1,000 cases in the U.S., 10,000 in the world, and right now, you know, there's been tests, there's been biopsies. The doctors have no clue right now. In fact, the information they gave him came from the internet. The doctor literally was Googling it while in the office. So a lot of his test work, biopsies, things like that, we're waiting from the Mayo Clinic, you know, to hear back what's what. It has a time marker on this one. So for me, I'm like, this is not fair. And I'm thinking, I'm not Dan, you know, and I'm not Teresa, and I'm not the girls, and it's not fair for me to say it's not fair. And how do I stand steadfast and believe that God is who he is and what he's doing, and I see this, and Dan's not alone in the room with people who are going through things that suddenly they're, please don't take this as a crude way, it's the only way I can visualize it. That suddenly you recognize there's an expiration date somewhere, and it's a little bit sooner than you had anticipated, perhaps. And that's still, I'm going to leave that in God's hand, because he has that date. We don't see it clearly. I will say this, though, that I mentioned it last week, and that's why some of you picked up on it. I mentioned the stages of grief, and I went through them rather rapidly, and I don't think Dan allowed me to go through them, because Dan shared with me something that said, okay, God, I'm sorry, and let's go. So I'm going to ask Dan to go ahead and come on up, and he's going to share, and then we're gonna do something. So are you ready? No?
When I told Mike what I was going through, I was also reading through James. And God was really precious, because he helped me see it this way. James didn't talk about God taking away our trials, but he talked about God taking us through the trials. And that's my prayer, ask that you'd pray for me that I could learn to endure, that I can mature, that I can gain wisdom, that I can have a joyful attitude through this trial. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So that's the positives in my life right now. There's hard days, but I have good friends that I can share with, and I thank you for that. This Thursday, we go see the doctor again. And find out possibly how long I have to live, which was really weird to say. We just don't have enough answers about what kind it is or when it started, because they say usually lifespans 10 to 15 years ago, but that's when the fibromyalgia started. So, you know, there's a little math there, but I don't know what God has in store. I'm just really thankful that I get to go through this with Teresa, and we just had our 25th anniversary. And that I get to go through it with you guys. Thank you.
I want to make sure that what Dan said there is, and it took me a half a second to connect it when he told me, and it's one of those half a seconds that lasted all day. This version of the amyloidosis, 10 to 15 years, but it was about that long ago that he was diagnosed with fibro. And what they're saying, if you haven't connected the two there, Dan doesn't have fibro. It's probably been this the whole time. And that's where we're at. There, people are going to ask. You're going to ask questions, and I'll let you ask those questions in your time. But if I can answer a couple that I know of at the moment, I mean, the first, what do you do with it? Can't you treat it? And the answer is no. And there's no medicine for it. There's no things like that. One possible avenue somewhere in there is the potential of transplant. The version that Dan has in particular, we believe starts in the liver, is that right? So the liver, and then it goes from elsewhere. People actually might end up passing from this without even knowing it. It's that if you're not looking for it, you don't find it, and usually it happens in organ failure, heart failure, and so it's something, if you're not looking for it, you don't know. You just think, oh, died because weak heart or something like that. So transplant is an option. Doesn't get rid of anything. It extends. And depending on, and that's this Thursday, hopefully there's a few answers, but the question now becomes, well, how much is affected already, and where is it at, and is that even an option? All those different things. Because it goes with this version, goes from the liver to other organs, eventually to the heart. So the question is, what's the path it took, and what's the damage it's made on its way? And we don't know. I do know who does know, and I'm relying on him. I love the fact that Dan's in good hands with doctors who care and want to progress. I'm more happy that God has placed those doctors in that path. James begins with, consider it joy when you face these trials, these tribulations, and then he comes back around in chapter 5, verse 13, to end this. He says, is any among you suffering? Because remember now, back in 1, he says, are any of you lacking wisdom? Are any of you in a place of question? And I would say James is asking you today as well. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray.
That's good. Okay. Is anyone cheerful? That's interesting. He takes a big swing around because he talks about that later on in the letter. But here he takes a swing. Is anyone, are you cheerful? That's great. Then you sing praise. Then he comes back. Is anyone among you sick? And that word sick connects to suffering. And I want to just take a brief second to explain, to say suffering is not necessarily illness, physical illness. It can be applied to spiritual illness. It can be applied to your relationship with others. The question is something broken? And I'm going to tell you that in this upside-down world that we live in, there's a lot of broken. I don't think you have to watch the news much more than a couple of minutes to find that one out. In fact, for VBS, they talked in the Amy's section was on missions, and they focus on not only international missions, but national missions. And by the way, if you don't think this last week was one big mission trip, you missed out on the point. But the missionary that was chosen for this VBS by Lifeway, who created the curriculum, they focused on a family in Atlanta. And if you're watching the news right now, you know that that family is right smack dab in the middle of trials and tribulation. Atlanta is not doing well. Is anyone suffering? Let him pray. If anyone cheerful, let him sing praise. If anyone sick, let him call for the elders of the church. So you'll notice that the first one is, you could do that on your own if you wanted to. Second one, you could probably do that one on your own if you wanted to. But now it's saying, no, if something is broken, no, now's the time to call the church. Now's the time to call the elders. And I want you to, just a quick emphasis, the plurality of eldership being on demonstration here, that it's not just an elder, not just a person in the church that you can, we're talking about the men who are supposed to be leading. And let them pray over him. That's the one who is sick. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that's important to say that that the oil is, first off, the anointing of oil, that this draws up imagery of Old Testament as well as New Testament. The picture of the oil is simply that this is the Holy Spirit at work. And that's the picture, just as much as we have the cup and the bread representing Jesus, the oil representing the Spirit. And here, it's not the oil that does any healing. There's no, I have some oil up here. It is not magic oil. It came from Costco. It's not magic juice, and it's not magic bread. It's what they represent, and what they represent is not magic. What they represent is my absolute faith in who Jesus Christ is and who God is and what the Spirit is doing. And I know what I'm about to say here is going, for some, especially if you've been a conservative Baptist for a long time, such as myself, it's going to sound a little weird, but I want you to hold on. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, because it's the Lord who does this, not the oil, it's the Lord. And it says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and he is and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. I want you to recognize that. It doesn't say confess them in a closet somewhere. Confess them to one another. Why? So that you can pray for one another. How can I pray for you if I don't know what's broken? That you may be healed. Now, I want to make sure I understand this verse too. This doesn't necessarily mean a physical healing right here, right now. It's talking about the broken relationship that exists. It's the idea that maybe something's not quite as steadfast as it could be, but it can be. This is the healing we're talking about. Now, if that healing happens in his glory to be true healing, and yes, it's happened, it happens. But if it's not his will that the physical healing, the spiritual well-being is what we're really asking here. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. And he goes on. He says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. I don't know about you. I've never compared Elijah to myself or myself to Elijah. But here James does. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And
for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain. That didn't happen today. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. We understand that Jesus Christ died for us. We understand that Jesus Christ, in the midst of going to the cross, suffered himself, that to demonstrate that suffering is part of what it is that we call life. He was in the garden and he asked the Lord, he asked, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask. He asked, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But his response ought to be the response of the steadfast man in faith. Not my will, but your will be done. I'm going to ask the elders to go ahead and come forward. Butch and Guy are here, and I'm here, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for Dan, and we're going, and like I said, we have the oil, and Teresa can come over too, but I want to make sure this is known here. We're going to do this, and Dan's just the first. Is what it is, and Dan has asked for prayer, and this is our response, and we want the church to join in with this prayer. But it's not just Dan. I know that there are others, and there are some here, and it's not. Some of it is a physical illness, and some of it is a spiritual brokenness, and some of it is relationship brokenness, Sin has destroyed this world and destroyed what God has for us, and yet that does not stop God from doing what he's going to do in and through us. And so if there's anybody else who would like prayer, and I know right now, we're not going to dump the oil on you, don't worry there. And I know it sounds weird, Mike, isn't that something that the other churches do? It's not about that. It's about God has said this is what you do, and this is what we do. And I know we haven't done it, and I'm going to confess that we should have been. And so, Dan, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and come here, and then we're going to begin with you, and then if anybody else would like to, I would just invite you to come forward. You can come forward even as we pray. And
Father God, we do come to you today. Father, we come to you as leaders, elders that have been elected by this church, but Father, we also come to you as men of God. Father, we just want to follow and obey you as Dan has here in coming forward, and he is asking for us to pray. Father, we are coming to you because Jesus came to you in the Garden of Gethsemane, but Father, we again, as he did, we just pray that, Father, not our will but yours. Father, we know you have the power to heal Dan. And Father, we know that if that is your will, then that's what will happen. But Father, we also know that it is your will. And we do not have the comprehension, Father, to understand exactly what you have in mind. But Father, we do have the faith to agree to it, or to follow through and allow you to be in control. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for Dan. We thank you for him coming forward. And, Father, we just pray that you will continue to be with him, give him strength, give his family strength, Father. Walk with them. Keep him ever present of your presence. And we just give you the praise and glory.
Father God, let's come before you, a humble servant, Lord, not worthy, not worthy in my life to even be called an elder, to even be in a position to hands-on pray for someone. But Father, I know from the book of Isaiah, Father, while we're calling, you already know. And Father, while we're speaking, you already answer. So Father, I just lift up this man, this life to you, Lord, knowing that you're in full control and that nothing goes unnoticed by you. Nothing happens without you completely in control of each and every step of it. So Father, I just pray for Dan this morning. I pray for the family. Lord, help us to grasp hold of life itself. I know that as Paul has shared with us in his word, that dying is joy. To be in your presence is our joy and our comfort. And Lord, as a person who knows you personally, and I know Dan does that, losing our life here, Lord, is tough, but Lord, we're going to be in your presence. So help us to see that in our lives. Help us to grasp hold of that. Lord, as I'm reminded again as we looked at Revelations this morning, Lord, the bowl of incense, a golden bowl of incense, the aroma of the prayer in heaven brings joy to God. And Father, I pray that as we stand here this morning and we pray for Dan and maybe others that will come forward this morning, Lord, that we can smell the aroma within this room, that we can feel your presence within this room, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation. And Father, that we can give glory and honor to you. Just thank you for that. In your name, amen.
Father God, I thank you so much for Dan, Lord. And you know that we have gone round and round on this. And so, Father, I pray my same prayer. I ask that you heal my brother. I ask that, Father, that somewhere in all of this, there was just a mistake on a chart. And Father, I'm praying your will be done. And I thank you that Dan has remained steadfast. And, Father, I know that there will be days that will be harder. And I'm praying, Lord, that you will make it easier for him, that, Lord, that you would walk with him, that you would cause him to endure. Father, we're asking that, Lord, let us see you at work in all of this. Father, I pray for Teresa, I pray for Jerrica, I pray for Sydney, and Father, I pray that as a family that they would remain steadfast, that they would see you, they would not see... they would not see the brokenness, but Lord, that they would see your glory. And Father, I pray that I just keep saying, Lord, your will be done. And Father, I know that there are moments where I'm not sure my will and your will are the same. So Father, I would pray for even myself, but those around Dan, that we would seek out your will in his life. And that Father, we would do all that we can to demonstrate that. I thank you for Dan, Lord. And I just ask that you would, Lord, you would just remind him daily of what he already knows. We give you all the praise, all the glory. Amen. Did you want to talk at all?
I don't know if I can.
It's okay.
I'm Sherry Cooper, and I've been diagnosed with sarcoma. And just this morning, as I sat on the side of the bed, I was praying that God would lift me from the valley that I felt of defeat. Sometimes when you don't feel good, it's hard to be happy, you're happy, but you're grouchy. And I want my family to be relieved of that. And anyway, I just love my church family. Thank you. And God's got it all in his hands, and I just want him to be glorified. And that's why I don't want to be grumpy.
Father God, once again we come to you, Father. And Father, we know that you are all powerful, you are all loving, Father, we do ask for healing for Sherry. We ask that you would be with him. But Father, as I said before, I also pray for your will. I know she prays the same prayer, Father. Father, we do ask that you would just give us the strength. Give her the energy that she needs. Give her the wisdom that she needs. Give her doctors, Father, the same. Father, we know that we have to come to you with our loved ones. And Father, we thank you that Sherry has come before. And that, Father, I especially thank you that you've given me the opportunity to be here with my sister. Father, guide us, direct us. Father, give us your precious power. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Father God, I again come before you not knowing how to pray. Lord, knowing that you're in control of everything. And Lord, I do lift up Sherry this morning to you. Lord, a struggle she's battled with for a while. And Lord, I lift up John and the family, Butch as he prays. And Lord, I come before you this morning and I pray as we do come together as a church family that possibly this church family could join me in praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive those who trespass against us so that we can forgive them. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, I just lift that up to you today. And Lord, I pray that we continue to come to you in prayer constantly in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you comfort Sherry, you comfort Dan and many others within the church. Lord, put your arms around them. Lord, help them to feel your presence in their lives. And Lord, we just give you the glory and honor for all of it.
Father, we do. We thank you for Sherry, Lord. I thank you for Sherry, Lord, and I thank you for her love for her family, and that, Lord, that it is constantly always on display, and that, Lord, the encouragement that is to me. And Father, I pray for John as he, Lord, help him as he learns what it means to support his wife in a different kind of way. And that, Father, I thank you for the family that you have surrounded her with. That I thank you for Butch, and I thank you for Donna Jo, and I thank you for the kids and everybody around. And Father, I just ask that you would give her comfort. And Father, we seek your will. We seek healing and whatever that looks like. And that, Father, that in the wisdom of whether it be doctors or friends or fellow patients, Lord, Father, we just pray that you would. You would be at your work in such a way that it reminds all that are around. But Lord, I especially ask that you just remind Sherry on a daily basis how much you love her. And that, Father, that love would radiate in such a way that, Lord, people would just want to know what's going on. What is the reason for this joy that she has? And Father, in those days that it's a little bit harder, in those days that it just feels a little bit less joyful, Father, that you would remind her that joy is not about a feeling of happiness, but joy is a work of your Spirit, and that it is consistent, it is constant. Give her faith that, or that does not toss her to and fro, but keeps her steadfast. We thank you, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, and it's in your Son's name that we ask these things. Amen. Before we close, I want to make sure if anybody else wants to, then come forward. So, Alan, can you share so people know what's going on?
My name is Alan Klaus, for those of you that don't know me, and short version. years and years I've been struggling with chronic pain, horrible, horrible chronic pain. And a couple of years ago, finally, they got a diagnosis. I was kind of in the same boat as Dan, just this horrible pain. No one can figure it out. And doctors know a lot, but for everything they know, there's a billion things they don't know. So finally, I got a doctor that was very persistent and really wanted to know what was going on with me. And he found out part of my problem in that I have a growth that's taken over a third of my spinal cord. And it's continuing to grow and take over my life, basically. And anyone who's never been around someone that's gone through chronic conditions, it does take over your life. You can't plan on doing anything anymore. You don't know at the beginning of the day what the end of the day is going to be like as far as your conditions. It's horrible. You can't have hobbies anymore. You can't have a lot. So, of course, my beautiful wife, who is not here this morning, we sat down after a couple of years of this, and we're talking about it, and, why, God, why? And she pointed out something to me that's given me strength this whole time, and I shared to everyone that asked that she pointed out that I have never been closer to God than where I am now, and it continues to grow every day. Not being able to work means that I can pray. Not being able to have social activities means that I can pray, means that I can have fellowship with brothers, means that I can get closer to God, and I am so much closer to God now than I have ever been in my life. And that right there is the good thing that is coming out of my condition. If nothing else happens, that right there is the reason why this has all happened. And so hopefully people that are going through this can see that or have a story like that. If not, I have total faith that God will provide that for you. But.
I'll have to reach out.
They say we're supposed to lay hands on you. Maybe you're a lot of man to lay hands on. Precious Heavenly Father, once again we come to you with Alan, Father. Father, many of us know what this pain is like, so Father, we sympathize with him, and yet, Father, as he has confessed here this morning, with you doing it, leading us back to you, Father, that is what we desire. Father, I do ask that you would just heal him of his pain, that Father, you would take some of it away from him, Father, all of it, if it be your will. But Father, I also ask that you would continue to lead him, that you would continue to guide him, that Father, he would be able to walk in your footsteps. Father, I do also pray that you will continue to just wrap people around him, wrap your arms around him, Father, guide him, direct him, lead him ever in the path that you would have him to go. And Father, that you would just give him the strength, that you would give him the comfort, that you would give him the patience, Father, that you would just be able to see the love, and he would be able to know your love, as Father, I know he does at this time.
Lord, I've come to learn to love Alan as a person. And Lord, I agree with his wife that I've seen the light of Christ in who he is and how he presents himself. And Father, I lift him up to you today. And Lord, as we had conversation this morning in Sunday school class, sometimes we think we come to you in prayer and we lay it all down. And Lord, you hear because of Isaiah's teaching before we speak, as I've already shared, and before I finish speaking, you already answer. But Lord, you're also, in the book of Isaiah, have taught us that we are, as we talked about this morning, to continue to pester you in prayer. As a little child jerking on his mother's skirt, Lord, you never tire of us coming to you. So, Father, I, this morning, pray for Alan, and, Lord, I pray that you will, touch my heart and my life, where I will continue to pray for Alan, for Dan, for Sherry, for this church family, for each other, for myself. Lord, teach me to come to you with everything. Teach me to pester you as a child should. And Lord, I thank you for that opportunity. And Lord, I pray that you do, as Butch has already prayed, Father, that you relieve some of the pain. Lord, that you work in his life in a manner that brings glory and honor to you. And Lord, I just again praise your name and who you are, and thank you. Amen.
Father, I do thank you so much for Alan Ward, and Father, I again, how can I say any more than it's already been said? Father, I have seen so much growth in Alan over the past couple of years, and that, Father, that to come to a place to say, okay, so this is happening, why, and to recognize that you were at work, I almost consider it the reverse of the blind man's story. And Father, that you brought him to this place so that he might know you more. And Father, I ask that that you would continue to be at work. But Father, we pray for healing. We pray that, Lord, that it'd be in your name that we would see a growth in a different kind of way. That, that Father, that there would be comfort given. Father, that you would give wisdom to the doctors, and Lord, that you would give wisdom to Alan when it's time to get up and when it's time not to get up. And that, Father, that he would not overwork, but that he would find his rest in you. And Father, we pray for Lord, just as we prayed, we pray for a miracle, and that's the only way it can be described. And I pray that, Lord, that that as you work, it will be seen, and as it is seen, people will know who you are. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. And it's in your son's name we come to you, Lord. Amen. So I know it's getting late, and although I don't believe the Holy Spirit works on a time schedule, but I don't want to cut anything off here. So if there's anybody else who would like to, now is your time. I know it's intimidating. I'm not sure I would be the first one jumping up. But I don't want to not give the opportunity. And by the way, I want to say this. Is the Holy Spirit didn't say, hey, Mike, I want you to do this Sunday, but only this Sunday. This is any time. If you come to that place, that's what we're here for. And Mark is with his wife. They're celebrating their anniversary right now, and so Mark would say the same thing if he was here as well. And so I'm going to pray, and this is going to stay here. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for all it is that you're doing, both the seen and the unseen. And Father, it's crazy out there, Lord. And there are moments where I want to stay inside. I don't want to go out into the crazy. And yet, Father, I see what you did through your son. And Jesus, I see what the instruction you gave to your disciples. Your instruction was not to stay inside. Your instruction was to go. And Father, that means that we're supposed to go into the crazy. And if I go into that by myself, I'm going to fail. And Lord, everybody here, if they try to do this by themselves, they're going to fail. And Father, sometimes maybe it's okay to fail, as long as we understand who's picking us up. And Father, I pray that we would not experience failure for failure's sake, but we would experience for steadfastness, for endurance. And Father, there is a race before us, and whether or not we think we see the finish line or not, that doesn't matter. What matters is we're on this race, and Lord, you're the one who is shepherding us through it. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for a body that that loves its community, and it loves the children, and it loves the families of the children. And Father, it loves one another. And I pray that we would not shy away from demonstrating that love in all that we do. We thank you. And as we come to the table this morning, I pray that we would be reminded on our hearts what it is that your son has done for us, and that you have received it as acceptable and holy, and that we would pursue you in all that we do. We pray these things in your son's name, by the power of the Spirit. Amen.